Welcome to True Crime Brewery, the best place for people who love beer and are addicted to true crime. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
Today we're going to talk about the case of Amy Lynn Bradley, but first let's get the beer poured.
Well, we're going to have a Virginia beer today because that's the state that Amy Lynn Bradley is originally from. The beer is actually probably not a Virginia beer because it's from a BJ's brew pub, which is a chain. But the beer was sent to me by a friend from Virginia, so I'm going to call it a Virginia beer. What I'm drinking is a stout called Tatanka Stout. Like most stouts, it's a pretty black-colored beer. This one has a nice, thick cream of coffee head. The aroma is quite nice. It's pretty good balance between chocolate and coffee. The taste of the beer actually follows the nose, so very well balanced, a nice beer. It is 8.5% alcohol by volume, which is not at all noticeable. The only caveat would be that if you're drinking these, that you drink them carefully because it is 8.5%. So cheers.
All right. So the beer's poured, so let's pull up our stools to the bar and talk about the mysterious disappearance of Amy Lynn Bradley. So here's some background on the case. Amy was 23 years old and on a vacation cruise with her parents, Iva and Ron, and her brother Brad, when she went missing. Now, Amy was athletic, a recent college graduate with a new apartment, and she actually had a new puppy waiting for her on her return home. According to Iva, Amy was excited to spend the week with her family. Iva said on the Vanished episode that Amy was a bit uneasy about being out in the ocean, but any reservations that she had were outweighed by the opportunity to spend a week away with her family. Because by all accounts, Amy was very close with her family. Her brother Brad and her were good friends.
So I learned that Amy's father, Ron, was given this trip, this cruise, as a sort of bonus or gift from his employer. So this is a free trip for the whole family.
So that's excellent. How often does that happen to someone?
I wouldn't think it happened very often.
Yeah, so they had this kind of, I would assume it's kind of a surprise gift, something that they didn't expect, and they're going to go out and have a good time. It's a good time in all their lives. The kids are young. Amy's just graduated college. Sounds like a good time for the family.
Right. Especially for the kids. Time to kick back and relax. Have a little fun.
That's what I thought. So I think it's going well from what I hear and from pictures. And they stop in Aruba on March 23rd. They get back on the ship, and it starts to set sail for Curacao. The parents are tired at that point, so they go to bed fairly early. And then Amy and Brad go to a calypso party at the ship's 24-hour dance club. And in the early hours of March 24th, Amy was seen dancing with Alistair Yellow Douglas, and he was a bass player who performed with the ship's band.
And somewhere after that, probably around 4 a.m., her brother Brad goes back to the cabin, sits on the private balcony that they have. Amy joined him about half an hour later, so around 4:30. Brad goes to bed shortly after that. Amy's still sitting on the balcony. Now, Ron, the father, wakes up later that morning, can see Amy's feet through the door on the balcony lounge chair. He assumes she fell asleep out there. He himself went back to sleep for another 20-30 minutes. This time, when he gets up, Amy's gone. Her shoes and other belongings are still there. She apparently took her cigarettes and lighter with her. So the idea was that she had just stepped out someplace to make a quick stop, maybe to have a smoke somewhere.
So he does go to look for her, but I imagine at this point he's not really worried. He's just going to find her so they can start their day. And he looks around for an hour and doesn't find her. So that seems a little weird for him. And he goes and he wakes his wife, Iva. And now you've got Ron, Iva, and Brad can't find Amy, and they're starting to panic, starting to get worried. So eventually they go to the ship's captain and ask him to put the ship on lockdown and do a complete search of the ship so they can find Amy. The captain says no. Amy's an adult, and he's not really that concerned about it.
Right. I think probably putting it in lockdown at that point was a little premature. As the captain said, she is an adult. But it'd be a good idea to do a search of the ship.
Right.
I can see him not making an announcement at that point, just because it might upset the other passengers that someone's gone missing, and all sorts of rumors would come flying out of that. So, you know, if the captain said, I'll search the ship, see what we can find, that would be okay.
So, supposedly, there is a search ensuing, and despite that, the other passengers are allowed to leave the ship for Curacao. And the captain tells Amy's family that he and his crew will search the ship. And after the crew searches, they don't find her.
So then at this point, the captain suggested to the parents that Amy may have either fallen overboard or committed suicide by jumping off the ship. The family rejects both of these scenarios. Brad says Amy was cautious and stayed away from the railings, so there's probably no way she would have fallen over accidentally. And they don't think she was suicidal because she was at a good point in her life. Recent college grad, new puppy, moving on, big things going. Nothing that looked like she would be a suicide risk.
Right. So if you put those out of your mind, an accident or suicide, then a crew member says, well, maybe she departed at Curacao, which seems like a reasonable idea. So the family decides to leave the ship and search for Amy in Curacao. The ship is in port at Curacao, but it's only there for 4 hours, so their time for searching is limited before the ship leaves them behind.
So did they have someone watching the departing passengers to see if Amy got off the ship?
I don't think so, Dick. I didn't hear anything about that. I think it was just the normal departure.
Right.
There was no talk about the crew watching them or doing any kind of checkpoint as people exited the ship.
Yeah. And if it's a big cruise ship, that can be kind of chaotic when people are in port and disembarking to go visit. So.
Yeah, I think it's fairly easy to say that, it's fair to say that they weren't that concerned. At least the ship captain and crew weren't. I think the family was getting really concerned at this point.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wonder how often something like that happens on a cruise ship. It's probably not all that rare.
No, I don't think it is. I think I read somewhere some statistics that it's not an uncommon occurrence. I mean, it's not frequent, but it's not something that happens one in a million times.
Oh, okay. So when I watched the Vanish episode with Iva and Ron speaking to Beth Holloway on the ID channel, it's a really good show. So Iva told Beth Holloway that the search was very chaotic, to say the least. The embassy there was closed. They're in a foreign country. They have no idea where to turn for help. So they're just kind of wandering the street, asking about Amy. They only have the little picture in Iva's wallet, I think. So they really aren't getting anywhere, and they're very frustrated and getting worried now. They're in there a long time, and then the father, Ron, he actually calls the FBI at some point because the ship's going to take off without them. And the FBI says, yes, they'll come to Curacao and help them in their search with Amy, but it'll be hours before they get there. So in the meantime, the ship leaves without Amy's family, and they continue to stay in Curacao and continue their search.
Which was a good idea. In actual fact, it took 5 days for the FBI to arrive in Curacao.
Yeah, I don't think they got a lot accomplished in the 5 days. They seemed like they were just kind of circling around asking people without a real idea of how to do a search. They had no help.
I'm sure they didn't accomplish much except for wandering around looking.
Yeah, making themselves a nervous wreck.
But once the FBI did arrive, the Bradleys learned that the ship's crew did not do a thorough search of the ship. It was apparently a fairly cursory search. They figured, well, let's try to get some more things going. So the family and the FBI agents go to meet the ship where it docked next in St. Thomas.
And so if they did that, does that mean that the FBI agents were contacting the ship and speaking to the captain in the meantime? Was there any other searching going on? Or
I would assume once you get the FBI involved that they're notifying the ship's captain that they're assisting in the search for this woman.
Right. So the family and the FBI, so they're going off to St. Thomas to meet the ship when it docks there. And they're getting really angry. Iva's pretty pissed off at this point. She feels like she was lied to by the captain. He said they did a thorough search, and then she finds out they really didn't do a thorough search. So time could have been wasted. The chance to save their daughter from something untoward could be lost. So just this whole idea that a thorough search wasn't done and then this time has passed, very upsetting for Amy's family. And when they meet in St. Thomas, Iva confronts the captain and the FBI, does a complete search of the ship. And while the FBI agents are searching, Iva, Ron, and Brad are walking around the ship, showing picture of Amy to the guests and crew, looking for clues, asking, have you seen her? Do you remember what she was doing that night? Have you seen her since? Stuff like that.
So while they're doing this, two frantic young women come running up to Ron and Iva saying, we've been looking all over for you. We saw Amy hanging out with one of the band members the morning she disappeared.
Yeah, so that's really odd. I wonder if they went to the captain and the crew about that. Because now we're talking, what, like a week later? 5 or 6 days later?
No, I mean, that's just a few days at most between one port to the other.
5 days? It took them 5 days for the FBI to meet them in St. Thomas. So it's at least 5 days.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's
a long
cruise.
Seems like a while. Well, I know, but a lot could happen in that time when someone's missing.
Yeah.
They always say the first 48 are the most important. So these girls say that Amy's hanging out with one of the band members the morning she disappeared. And they say they actually saw Amy heading back to the dance club at 5:45 a.m. with the band's bass player. And that's the guy she was dancing with, Alistair Douglas. And they saw the two of them at the elevator at the dance club walking into the club.
So right now, the last person to see Amy alive is Alistair Douglas.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think they actually came up with video footage of her and Alistair Douglas exiting the elevator to the dance club early that morning. So that was her last sighting that anyone knows of.
So do they recall whether she had shoes on or not when she was heading into the dance club?
I haven't heard anything about that. She, you know, in the video, you couldn't see her feet.
Oh, because that's the story, was that she had left her shoes on the balcony of the suite.
Right.
And went barefoot somewhere.
Right. Which, I don't know, how strange is that if you're on a cruise ship? I'm sure that it's not that odd to be barefoot.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. So I would think that the family's not super happy right now. And they're thinking, this Alistair Douglas, who is he? What's going on here? And then Amy's brother Brad remembers Amy dancing with that same guy, Alistair Douglas, the night of the 23rd, which is the night before she went missing, of course. And more importantly, and very suspiciously, Brad remembers a strange encounter he had with Douglas when he was looking for Amy early the morning of the 24th. Alistair came up to Brad and said, hey man, I'm sorry to hear about your sister. So Brad thought this was really strange, because only the captain and the security team should have known at that point that Amy was missing. And how did Douglas know anything had happened to Amy?
Well, I'm not so sure that that's a real suspicious thing.
No?
No.
Seems suspicious to me.
I'll bet the ship knew, or at least crew members of the ship knew, that there was a missing passenger. And I don't think it'd be too far-fetched that somebody would know about it. I mean, these two women that said they'd been looking all over and couldn't find Ron and Iva to tell them about the missing person.
Yeah.
Had they told the captain that, or someone in charge? Because this is several days after she went missing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that actually the captain had some information about it, because Alistair Douglas was brought in for questioning.
Right. The FBI was questioning him. He changed the story that he related apparently to Brad and said he has no knowledge about her disappearance. They questioned him some more.
Yeah, Alistair, and they did a polygraph, actually.
Even did a polygraph.
Yeah.
So after the polygraph, Ron, the father's in the waiting area outside the interview room. Douglas came out. He smiled, gave him a thumbs up as he left the interview.
Now, I just have to say, from that Vanished episode, that Ron and Iva were very offended by this. They felt like when he came out and gave the thumbs up and a smile, that he was being very flip about her disappearance, and maybe even a little bit cocky about, yeah, I got away with it. So,
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. The other way would be that the guy was just relieved that he passed the polygraph and it wasn't him that was going to be the suspect. Maybe someone else would be a suspect. So maybe it was just a matter of being happy that he had cleared himself.
Yeah, but if you're going out towards someone's parents, you're only going to smile and give a thumbs up if she's found safe. You don't smile and give a thumbs up, oh, I passed the polygraph. They don't give a shit about that.
True. That's very true. But maybe he was just so relieved that he had gotten himself cleared that he did that.
Yeah, well, they were offended, and Ron just about lost it and had to be restrained.
I'd be offended.
Yeah. Iva was devastated. She thought this guy did something to her daughter. So now the mystery deepens further when the ship's photo service notices, hey, all of Amy's pictures are missing. How weird is that?
That is really strange, because there's pictures galore taken on these cruises, and they're posted for people to look at and choose the ones you want. You buy them, basically.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, every picture that has Amy in it is missing?
Yeah. And, is that normal for them to take pictures of everyone? Don't they have to get your consent before they take any pictures?
Oh, no. They just snap the pictures. And then you look them over and decide if you want any of them.
Okay. So there's like a big board with pictures.
Many boards.
Like all over the ship or in one in central area?
The couple cruises I've taken, it's been in one area with pictures arrayed chronologically, so you can look and say, well, I was on this deck on this day, and find your pictures.
Yeah. So, if hers are gone, that is very suspicious.
There's something going on there, absolutely.
Yeah. And how hard is that? I mean, do you have to go through them all and just pick out? There were no pictures with her in it. How hard would that be to go through all of those and make sure that all of hers were gone?
Well, it'd take a little bit of time, but it wouldn't be terribly hard. You could do it.
Yeah. So why do you think they would have been missing? Any ideas?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't obscure the fact that she was missing.
No.
And we know that she was on the boat to begin with, so if they're trying to make a case of, well, she was never on the boat, we know she was.
Yeah. So if Amy herself removed the pictures because she wanted to disappear, how likely do you think that scenario is?
Well, again, I mean, whether the pictures are there or not, she started out on the cruise.
Yeah.
So she was there to begin with. And I don't know why taking the pictures, is that going to hinder investigation into the missing person?
Well, it might. I guess it might.
But the parents must have plenty of pictures of her.
Yes, but this is 98. Nobody had iPhones with all the pictures on them like we do nowadays. So unless they had an actual printed picture in their wallet, that's about all you'd have with you back then.
Yeah, but weren't they showing pictures of her in Curacao and St. Thomas?
They were. I don't know if it's pictures or just one or two. I don't know.
Right, but there's pictures of her.
They at least had a picture,
okay.
Yes. So I don't know. But I just think that the photo service snapped photos of all the guests. It had been a couple days before she disappeared, and her photos are gone. And
yeah, that's strange.
Right, and the photo service said pictures of Amy were the only pictures missing. And I don't know how exactly they knew that, but nobody else said their pictures were missing, I guess. So it's like a really hard situation for the whole family.
Right. So they return home without Amy. From home, once they're there, they launch a pretty impressive media campaign to bring nationwide attention to Amy's case.
Yeah, I actually remember this. They were on, I think it was the Today Show, showing pictures of Amy and talking about her. And, I remember them being on the news quite a bit. I think they were on Dr. Phil, the Today Show, and other things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've announced a reward, $250,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
I know. And did that money come from donations, do we know? I don't think they were super wealthy people. I think they did okay, but that's
right.
A lot of money.
I think there were some certainly donations, but also didn't the employer kick in some money too?
Might have, yeah. It might have. I know later on that comes into play, but I'm not sure about the initial reward money, where it was coming from. And it's about a month later. When Brad and Ron decide, well, we're going to return to Curacao and look for Amy, because there have been no leads, even in spite of the reward, in spite of all their media efforts. There have been no credible sightings, at least. So they go back to Curaçao to look for him again. And the only possibly credible lead they get on that trip to Curaçao is a cab driver who claims to have seen Amy. So the day that their ship docked in Curaçao, he said he was waiting at the ship like he normally does to pick up passengers. And when he was sitting there and people got off, Amy ran up to him and asked him where she could find a phone. And I guess she was a little bit frantic, running, so that could have been her.
I guess it could have been.
Yeah.
The cabbie said that he will never forget her green eyes, which seems to me kind of a strange remark.
It kind of does, although I'm thinking, are green eyes rare in that area of the world?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's...
And she did have green eyes from the pictures I've seen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think he mentioned that to give more credibility to his reporting that he had seen her.
Yeah, if we want to be cynics, we could say he just threw that in to get a little
right.
more attention or more of a chance at the reward.
Call me cynic.
Yep, cynic.
Okay. So they didn't find anything. They searched around Curaçao for another week,
yep.
And then they returned home empty-handed. No Amy.
Yeah, what a disappointment. And then on their way home from Curaçao, they had a layover in Miami. And then the family had a scare. Iva called to tell them that she was notified that a body had been found in the harbor of Curaçao. And for 24 hours, they had to worry about this, waiting for it to be determined if it was Amy or not. So they did determine after that time period that it was not Amy. It was actually a jawbone and a pelvic bone from a man, which I really don't understand, because they had told Iva in the beginning, yes, it's a female with dark hair, and we think it's Amy. But then it seems like it's really far from being Amy.
Right. It doesn't even sound like there is hair.
No.
A jawbone and a pelvic bone?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but I think it was really pretty devastating to the family to have to think and worry about that. And I remember hearing Ron say on the Vanished episode that flying from Miami back to Virginia, he was just in such a state, he felt like if the plane went down, so be it. He was all right with that, because everything was just so traumatic for him.
But then it turned out not to be Amy, so there's still hope.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, they're relieved it isn't Amy's body, but the thing is, they still don't know where Amy is.
With no news of any kind.
Right. So, actually, nothing happens in the case until 1999.
So, this is a year later?
Yeah, about a year. Yep. I think a little over a year. I think it was in the summer, when a Canadian businessman, David Carmichael, calls the Bradleys, and this is with a fresh lead. And according to Carmichael, 5 months after Amy's disappearance, he was on a scuba diving trip in Curaçao, when he saw a girl matching Amy's description on the beach. Now, she was being flanked by two men, and when she heard Carmichael speaking English with one of his friends, she started, turned and walked towards him, kind of moving ahead and distancing herself from the two men. So when she was 3 or 4 feet from him, he felt like she was just about to speak to him when the two men had caught up to her, and they pulled her away into a nearby cafe.
Now, apparently, Carmichael hadn't heard of Amy's disappearance before this happened.
Right.
But he thinks this is kind of an odd thing, with the woman that looked like she wanted to come speak to him and then is kind of dragged into this cafe nearby.
Well, he thought it was odd enough that he went in and followed her, yeah.
Right. And he says he notices a scar on her chin, and she's pointing out her tattoos to him.
Yeah. So, at this point, I wonder what the men were doing. I haven't heard anything about that.
No.
No, but she's pointing out her tattoos, and he remembers them. So it's a good time for us to go over what Amy has for tattoos, because she does have 4 of them. She has a baby Tasmanian devil on the back of her left shoulder. She has a blue gecko lizard around her navel, a Japanese symbol on her right ankle, and a Japanese sun on her lower back. She also does have a chin scar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the tattoos that Carmichael described are consistent with the tattoos that Amy has.
Yep.
And the scar on her chin is a scar that she also has.
Yeah, actually, Ron and Iva find him to be very believable.
Yeah, he wasn't hitting them up for reward money or anything?
He had no interest in the reward money. He was a fairly wealthy man off, you know, scuba diving. So actually, to them, the sighting was confirmation in their minds that Amy had been kidnapped and was still alive. So this sighting meant a lot to them. It kept their hopes going, at least for another 2 years or so.
But nothing came of the sighting.
No, they went back and they searched the area and nothing came of it. But that doesn't really mean anything. Just because she was there then doesn't mean she would be there when they went back.
Right.
But they do seem convinced that he did see Amy. And he didn't seem to have any reason to be making it up. So there's really nothing until 2001. And at this point, another man comes forward. And he has information that seems to prove that Amy's been kidnapped. Now, his name is Frank Jones. He says he's a private eye who claims that she's being held captive by a human trafficking operation. He says that Amy's being forced into sexual slavery, and he knows where she is. So he tells Ron and Iva that if anyone can bring her home safely, he's the guy. Presents himself that he's a former special services guy, and he's done this before. He's rescued many people from situations like this. So he seems like a hero.
Right. But in retrospect, stories like this would raise all sorts of red flags. That he's a special investigator, former special services guy. He's the only one that can rescue Amy. I'm sure he was hitting them up for money to help pay his expenses while he searched for Amy.
Well, absolutely. After taking over $200,000 of their money, which wasn't really their money, it was people who had given money to them as well as theirs, then Frank Jones says he's ready to bring Amy home. But guess what? He needs a final payment of $100,000.
Well, sure. See? So, but the family's resources are busted.
Yeah.
And they ask Ron's employer for the $100,000.
Yeah.
And he says he'll do that, but he wants to verify the story that Frank Jones is telling. So he sends another investigator to Curacao to check that Jones's story is legitimate.
Which I think was a really good idea, because from this point back, they were just kind of blindly believing whatever Frank Jones told him, although he was definitely sending pictures and things that would make it believable. So the investigator, what's his name? Tim Buckles was the investigator that goes to check on Frank Jones. And Buckles finds out that Jones isn't doing any investigative work. Buckles has done a lot of investigating in his life. He goes down there, he looks around, and he finds out that Frank Jones is just hanging out, drinking rum on the beach, spending the money.
Living the good life.
Yeah.
So I guess it turns out that Mr. Jones is a real scumbag.
I would definitely second that.
He even went to as far as sending bogus information to her family.
Well, yeah, that's how he strung them along.
He sent pictures of a woman he claimed was Amy. He actually had tattoos matching Amy's stenciled onto the body of an unknown woman for these pictures. Turns out that he's a con artist and is not the special forces operative or investigator he claimed to be.
Yeah.
So he gets arrested, actually, and charged with mail fraud and is sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Well, that's good, but that doesn't do much for Amy's family. Now they've wasted 2 years and over $200,000 on him.
Right. And in these 2 years, there's been no other sightings or clues or anything.
Not that they mention. Nothing significant, at least. And he's sent these pictures. He actually had the tattoos stenciled, like you said. And, you know, he's really had their hopes up. It's kind of cruel. I mean, it's more than just stealing money. I think it's a cruel thing to do. I mean, scumbag is probably the right description of this guy.
It's probably too kind a description.
It is. And, you know, he got 5 years in prison, but still, that's 2 years they've wasted where they could have found their daughter, plus all that money that they could have used to help find her. So there's, like, nothing else until 2005. It's just all waiting and searching and nothing good coming out of it. So in 2005, the next credible lead comes in.
This is 7 years afterwards.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's a long time.
It's a very long time. But they just are determined to keep their hopes up. And, you know, they have some reasons to keep their hopes up. There have been these sightings, and a couple of them are credible. So in 2005, the next credible lead is an anonymous source sends them photos online. And the pictures, they determine, are from an adult website. And the adult website is based in the Caribbean. The woman in the picture is being advertised as a female escort. So they have had many false leads and dashed hopes. And at this point, they've wised up to this, and they want to make sure that the woman in the picture is Amy. So they do get in touch with the forensic detective. And then after looking at the picture and examining it, he says he'll bet his career that the woman in the picture is Amy.
And apparently these are very shocking pictures. She looks very hardened and abused. Doesn't it look at all like the Amy that boarded the cruise ship with her family?
No, they're really sad. I mean, despite being humiliating, she just looks worn and scared and, you know, she just looks bad, like she's had a rough time, if that's her. Certainly doesn't look like the college graduate with so much going for her. It's really hard for the family to look at.
So it looks like she's on this website that is an escort service, so you can figure she's prostituting herself. So the question is whether she left the ship on her own to engage in this, or she's abducted and forced into sexual slavery.
Right, yes. And the authorities do try to trace the IP address when the pictures come in, but they're unable to do that. So the Bradleys make the pictures public to try and get some help finding Amy, and they absolutely are willing to do whatever it takes.
So, the sighting suggests that Amy's a victim of human trafficking, which sounds far-fetched, yes, but it is actually more common than most people think.
Well, what do you think of this human trafficking? I mean, it definitely exists.
It definitely exists, and this is just my opinion.
Right.
But I think that the traffickers are interested in more younger women, early teens to mid-teens, 23-year-old. For these people is kind of over the hill.
So actually children, not women.
Right.
Right. Okay. But I think that there is some evidence that some adults get taken. I don't know that much about it.
I don't either.
Yeah. So it's a possibility. So there are two more sightings that suggest human trafficking. There's a sailor who claimed to see her in a brothel, but he waited 2 years to report it. So he said a woman matching Amy's description asked him for help when he was in a brothel. He said she needed to get out of there, but she couldn't get out. But here's his excuse. So he wasn't supposed to be there, so he wasn't going to get himself in trouble and report it. So he didn't say anything for 2 years.
Far-fetched.
Far-fetched? I think it's just shitty. Who would do that? Who cares if you're supposed to be there or not? You're going to just put someone's life at risk because right. You don't want to be found out?
Yeah, he could always say he's dropping a buddy off or picking a buddy up.
Something.
He doesn't have to admit that he was there looking for sex.
Right.
But I don't know why it would take him 2 years.
I know.
Again, unless he's looking for a little reward money, if there's any left.
I know. So, I don't know how believable he is. We can believe he's telling the truth or not, but when the Bradleys send someone to investigate the brothel, it's no longer there anyway. So I guess it had burned down?
That's what the report is, that it burned down.
Yeah.
I guess that's not that unusual.
Really?
Burning brothels in Curacao.
And why is that? Do we know?
No.
Okay. So the one more sighting I was talking about was in 2005, so that's 7 years after she went missing. And this occurred on the island of Barbados. The woman from Ohio, Judy Mower, she was on vacation, Bridgetown, Barbados, and she says she went to use the restroom at a downtown department store, and in the stall she heard men's voices. And they were coming into the ladies' room, talking loud and threatening. She's in the stall, so she hid on the stall. She put her feet up on the toilet, I guess, and hid in the stall so no one would know she was there. And then she heard the men's voices coming in, threatening, saying the deal's at 1 o'clock and you better not mess it up. Stuff like that. So she stays in the stall until the men leave. And then when they leave, Judy comes out of the stall. She says she saw a young woman cowering by the sink. And the woman at the sink told Judy that her name was Amy. Judy says she remembers this because she has a daughter named Amy. And she said to the woman, I have a daughter named Amy. Trying to get her to open up and speak to her more. But she says the girl looked terrified. And then within a minute or so, the men pounded on the door. And Judy panicked and went running out of the restroom. So it wasn't until she saw Amy's pictures on TV, I think it was on the Today Show, that she notified the Bradleys and the FBI. And investigations in the area of the department store were done. But again, this lead led to nothing. They did not find Amy. So we're 7 years out at that point with really no concrete leads. So now...
There's no further leads or sightings. It's 18 years afterwards.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what happened to Amy Bradley.
So this is a long, cold case with really no good leads in many years.
Certainly no credible leads. Even the ones that seemed credible to begin with never panned out.
Yes. So I think maybe the parents' idea that she was kidnapped, I see some real possibility in that.
Well, if she wasn't killed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she neither fell nor jumped from the ship.
Okay.
That sounds like it's too difficult.
I think I'm with you on that. I don't really see that happening either.
So maybe she was killed either by the band member or someone else on board.
Right.
Or she was abducted
and
sold into slavery.
Or maybe Alistair Douglas abducted her and sold her. He was from Guatemala.
Yeah.
I don't know what the trade in human trafficking is in Guatemala.
Maybe he did.
Well, maybe it was Grenada.
Because that would be, it'd be worth more to sell somebody into slavery than to simply kill them.
Well, I think if he killed her, it probably wasn't a planned thing. I think it was probably he made advances that she rejected.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, to me, that's the most likely thing.
I think so, too. I really think, although you get that picture of her that really does look like her. So I think those are the two things. It's either she was abducted and she's being prostituted, or she was killed on the boat. And if she was abducted, she could still have been killed since then is the unfortunate thing. Doesn't guarantee that she's alive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a short shelf life for prostitutes.
Really? You think they kill them after a few years or let them go?
I don't know that they kill them necessarily, but what are you going to do? They can't just simply let her go and allow her to go to authorities. So that's a possibility to me that she was a sexual slave or prostitute and was killed.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing I'd think of is that someone killed her on board the boat and dumped her over.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, I hope that's not what happened, of course, but that does seem the most likely because they didn't do the thorough search right away, so I kind of think that might have happened. So, we don't know. And I guess that's all we have for this story of Amy Lynn Bradley. And that ends this episode of True Crime Brewery. I'd just like to say that the beer was delicious. And at 8.5%, is that what you said?
8.5, baby.
8.5, so I think that makes it probably time for a nap for me. So, until next time, we'll save a spot at the bar for you. If you'd like to support us, please go to patreon.com/truecrimebrewery. And if you have any comments or questions, you can always write into our forum at tiegrabber.com or leave us a voicemail at tiegrabber.com. And if you have any information on the whereabouts of Amy Lynn Bradley, call the FBI at 804-777-3363. So that's it.
Thank you. Signing off.
Bye-bye.